In this world of ours, things can change very suddenly and rapidly. If we don't have mindfulness and wisdom, we may not be able to protect ourselves or understand what is happening as circumstances change. This is still a matter of worldly conditions. Gain and loss, status and loss of status, praise and criticism, happiness and suffering, they always come in pairs. Sometimes, however, even a young child can possess mindfulness and wisdom. When the tsunami occurred in Thailand, there was a child who, if I remember correctly, was British. She saw the sea receding and realized that a tsunami was about to occur. She immediately shouted to the people nearby, telling them to seek safety and hurry to higher ground. In this way, many lives were saved. When things happen so rapidly, some people have no time to react, as we saw in Nepal. A glacier and a mass of ice and rock came crashing down from the mountain with tremendous speed. People had no time to escape or even to react. Within a very short time, buildings were swept away, along with the lives of many human beings and animals, all in the blink of an eye. But sometimes there may be a child whose karma has not yet reached the point at which his life must end, and who also possesses good mindfulness and clear comprehension. On the day this catastrophic avalanche of ice and rock occurred, there was a boy named Zoyal Gale. He was only 8 years old. He went to school as usual, but when he saw that the glacier and ice on the mountain were about to slide down, he had the mindfulness and wisdom to run quickly up the mountain and climb up a tree. In this way, he survived. After the avalanche had passed, rescuers entered the area and were able to rescue the boy and take him to hospital. He was still clutching rupee banknotes in his hand. His parents, however, thought that he must have died. Mati Maya Tamang, aged 28, had been sitting at home weaving cloth when she witnessed everything that happened. She heard a tremendous rumbling sound, a deafening roar, and then, in an instant, everything was swept away, taking with it the lives of many living beings. She ran outside to look for her son, but by then she probably had lost hope, thinking that he must have died. Then she heard that an injured child had been taken to a small hospital, one with only 15 beds. She went there to look and found her son. It was as though her life had been given back to her. At first, her heart must have been shattered by the thought that her son had died. From what she had seen, it would have seemed very difficult for him to survive, especially since she had received no news of him. But when she found her son safe and alive, she came alive again and recovered from her grief and sorrow. This is an example of how anything can happen in our lives. When we live near mountains, we may simply see their beauty and look upon the snow-covered peaks as though they have stood there unchanged for a very long time, with nothing like this ever having happened before. But nowadays the world is changing. As we know, temperatures are rising, bringing conditions such as heavy rainfall, flooding, avalanches, and increasingly severe disasters. There are also dangers that occur regularly, such as those associated with driving. Just the other day, here in Rayong, two engineers driving a Fortuner crashed into an electricity pole. The vehicle caught fire, and both of them died. We can see how uncertain life is. Once we have this conditioned physical body, it is subject to change. Illness may also come upon us. Even when we are still young, changes can occur in the body and illnesses can arise. Some people live to an old age, while others do not. It all depends on the karma we have created. Some people may have long lives because they have not harmed or taken the lives of animals and have not harmed other human beings. As a result, they may experience a long lifespan. But if we have old karma from having harmed living beings in the past, illness may arise even when we are still young. We can contemplate, this is probably the result of karma that I have created. In accordance with the principles of Buddhism, we contemplate in this way to steady and calm the mind. Sometimes we may wonder, why am I like this? I'm still not very old. Why do I have to become ill like this? Why do I have to suffer and be tormented by illness? If we continue thinking and reflecting in this way, the mind can become gloomy and distressed. Therefore, we must take good care of the mind and continue accumulating and developing our spiritual perfections. We can see that even an 8-year-old child was able to use mindfulness and wisdom to survive. This was because the results of his karma had not yet reached the point at which he had to die. Mindfulness and wisdom arose, and his lifespan had not yet come to an end. Let us look back to the time of the Buddha. Something similar happened then as well. There was a little girl, only 7 years old, whose life was about to come to an end. As she was walking to her father's weaving workshop, she stopped first to pay her respects to the Blessed One, whom she deeply revered. She also had an exchange with the Buddha. The Buddha asked her questions, and the little girl answered in terms of the Dhamma. Her answers were so beyond people's thinking that they thought she was speaking sarcastically to the Buddha, whom they held in the highest reverence. But that was not the case. Her answers were expressions of the Dhamma. Although she was only 7 years old, she already had the Dhamma in her heart. She had heard the Buddha teach, "Blind are the people of this world. Only a few in this world see clearly." We do not know when aging, illness, and death will come. We do not know when we will die, where we will die, or at what time we will die. No one knows. Isn't that so? As we know, we might die while traveling or while skiing somewhere covered in snow. We might fall or some accident might happen. No one knows. When we drive somewhere, no one knows what may happen. We ourselves do not know what may happen to us in the next few minutes. The little girl contemplated in this way, "This world is dark. Few are those who clearly understand." Her mind became collected and unified, and she attained stream entry, Sotapanna. But the results of her karma had arrived. When she entered the weaving workshop, her father was dozing. He was startled and released part of the weaving machine, which struck the little girl between the eyebrows, killing her. Her father was overcome with grief. He went forth and ordained as a monk. He listened to the Dhamma and practiced, eventually attaining the stage of a non-returner, an anagami. So this was karma that brought her life to an end. There are times when the Lord of Death comes and cuts life short. Yet merit and goodness also arose from this event, because her father later attained the state of a non-returner. This depends on the merit and spiritual perfections that have been accumulated and developed. Sometimes a little girl, such as Lady Visakha, attained stream entry at only 7 years old. We may wonder how someone so young could possibly become a stream enterer. We have to look further back and understand that she had cultivated her spiritual perfections for a very long time, 100,000 great aeons, just like the great male lay disciple Anattapindika. She had cultivated these perfections since the time of the Buddha Padumuttara. She had developed them for an immensely long time. Therefore, in this life, she was able to attain stream entry at only 7 years old. In previous lives, she had already become a person of great knowledge, ability, and virtue. Thus, in this life, when she heard the Dhamma of the perfectly self-awakened Buddha, she was able to see the Dhamma. She was even capable of receiving and welcoming the Buddha. At only 7 years old, she was able to organize a reception for the Buddha and as many as 500 monks. Just imagine how intelligent and capable she must have been. Do you see? Physically, she appeared to be merely a little girl, but her mind was another matter. Her mind could be as mature as that of an adult. She possessed great knowledge and ability because she had accumulated and developed so many spiritual perfections. Even so, she still experienced the pain of separation when her beloved niece passed away. Her niece had attended to her, carried out tasks on her behalf, and capably taken responsibility for offering meals to the Sangha. Although Lady Visakha was a stream enterer, she still felt grief and sorrow. She had not yet completely abandoned grief. Her grief concerned the loss of someone who had helped with good works, meritorious activities, and wholesome deeds. When she heard the Dhamma from the perfectly self-awakened Buddha, however, he reminded her, "You must have wisdom. You must contemplate. If you have 100 things that you love, then 100 kinds of suffering will likewise be waiting for you." That was all it took. Through this reminder, wisdom arose in her mind, and she was able to transcend her grief. This shows that when the Buddha reminded her, her samadhi or concentration must also have arisen very quickly, because she had already trained in it. Wisdom could then arise and clearly understand that one should not cling or hold on, that there is no self that is truly me and nothing that is truly mine. Some people chant the verse Ong Dai Prat Samput, a Thai chant praising the Buddha, and simply chanting it fills their hearts with joy. This shows that we have already accumulated and developed spiritual perfections in the past. We have frequently recollected the virtues of the perfectly self-awakened Buddha and already developed a great deal of faith. Even as a young child, when hearing chanting, one's hairs may stand on end. One may not know what it is or what is happening, but one experiences an indescribable sense of fullness and happiness in the heart. Then the feeling disappears, and one does not understand it. If someone were there to guide a child in this situation, encouraging the child to practice and train regularly, the child could begin experiencing the results of practice from a very young age. But perhaps such a child does not meet anyone who can provide guidance, because no one around them has had similar experiences. Eventually, worldly conditions come to dominate the mind, as they normally do. Later, when we see the suffering, drawbacks, and dangers of worldly life, and recognize that the mind has become agitated, we return to sitting meditation. We train the mind, put forth effort, and continue practicing without stopping. One day, the mind will become increasingly peaceful, and the agitation within it will gradually diminish, level by level. We continue training ourselves in this way so that we can understand worldly conditions for what they are. All 8 of them, the 8 worldly conditions. Observe that nothing is lasting. There is happiness, and then there is suffering. There is criticism and there is praise. Do you see? There is no one in this world who is never criticized. So what should we do? What does the mind like? We like praise, and we don't like anyone to criticize us or speak badly of us. Sometimes, however, what people say is actually true. In that case, we can bring their words to mind and reflect upon them. If what they say is not true, we have to let it go. We cannot grasp at it as though it were something substantial or truly important. Nevertheless, we can consider whether what they say is true of us. If it is, we can correct ourselves. We should look at the different capacities found in human life. Some people have children who display remarkable abilities at a very young age. A child may be highly capable at only 3 or 4 years old, or at 7. Nowadays, someone who is only 16 may even be a world-class musician. Why is that? Is it simply an innate gift? It may be an ability that the person developed in the past. Nevertheless, they still need to train in the present life to bring that ability forth again. In terms of karma, this shows that they have possessed such abilities in the past. Once they revive and practice them again, it may not take long before they become highly skilled. It is like someone who once knew how to drive a car. Later, they may not drive for 10 or 20 years. But when they begin practicing again, it does not take long before they can drive once more. The cultivation of spiritual perfections is the same. If we are practiced and trained before, the mind may not be peaceful at first. But once it becomes peaceful, remarkable things can arise. This was like Venerable Chula Pantaka. He could not remember anything, was unable to memorize texts, and did not have a sharp intellect. His elder brother, Venerable Mahapantaka, said, "This is no use. My younger brother is extremely dull-witted," and told him to disrobe. But when Venerable Chula Pantaka's spiritual perfections had matured sufficiently for him to attain arahantship, the Buddha came to teach him personally. The Buddha asked, "Are you going to disrobe? Did you not go forth for the sake of the Tathagata?" Then he gave him a clean white cloth and instructed him to repeat this meditation phrase, "This white cloth is stained with dust." Chula Pantaka continued repeating the phrase, while the Buddha used his psychic power to cause the cloth to become dirty. Chula Pantaka looked at the cloth and saw that it had become soiled. He contemplated this and attained arahantship together with the analytical knowledges. He possessed higher knowledges and meditative attainments, and was able to multiply his body from one person into as many as 500. He became foremost in the psychic power of creating mind-made bodies. This was because no one else could teach him. In the past, he had made an aspiration that the Buddha himself would be the one to teach him. And that was indeed what happened. In the end, he attained arahantship. This is what we mean when we say that something may already have been developed in the past, but the time has not yet come for a person's knowledge or abilities to manifest. Do you see how uncertain human life is? Each person has cultivated and developed different spiritual perfections and has different karma. Whether one is old or young, has a long life, experiences many illnesses, or experiences few illnesses, all these things differ according to the merit and spiritual perfections one has cultivated. Therefore, I encourage all of you to keep making an effort. In this life, whenever we have the opportunity, let us sit in meditation, practice mental development, make the mind peaceful, chant and meditate, and train the mind so that it becomes firm and steady. Whatever happens, we accept it. We accept the reality that, aging is natural, pain is natural, and death is natural. We chant these recollections, but we should also contemplate them deeply so that wisdom arises in the heart. This is not easy, but we have to train and practice. Thus, the quality of samadhi, or concentration, gives rise to the quality of wisdom. We already have moral conduct as a foundation and generosity as a foundation. With generosity and moral conduct as our foundation, we must make an effort to train and cultivate the mind. Throughout the day, we should maintain as much mindfulness as possible and develop it to the greatest extent we can. Once we understand the principles of practice and no longer have doubts, when we meditate and peacefulness arises, we recognize it. Oh, so this is what rapture is like. Then we can look at it and learn more about it. I myself used to wonder, what is happening to me? I would sit in meditation and my body would feel light, as though it were floating. Rapture would arise. I looked into the books and found that these experiences are described as the five kinds of rapture. After passing through rapture and bliss, when the heart becomes full and the mind becomes still and no longer thinks, do not contemplate immediately. When the mind has withdrawn from that state and the concentration has decreased, we can then contemplate this body as merely a mass of elements, or as a mass subject to anicchang, dukkhang, anatta, impermanence, suffering, and not-self. Observe and simply know. Breathing in, the breath arises and remains. Then the breath goes out. If we breathe in and do not breathe out, we die. If we breathe out and do not breathe in again, we die. It's just this much. When we understand this deeply, we see that this is no longer us. This body is simply the four elements, a collection of earth, water, fire, and air, and the mind sees its nature as not self. All of you, both monastics and laypeople, can see the Dhamma if you possess sufficient merit, favorable conditions, and spiritual perfections. Therefore, let us cultivate and nurture our spiritual perfections in this way. When the goodness we practice and accumulate increases more and more, it becomes barami. Generosity barami, virtue barami, concentration barami, and wisdom barami. Let us continue striving for as long as we are still breathing and our bodies remain healthy and strong. Let us not be heedless, but continue training and developing ourselves. May all of you grow in the Dhamma. May you be blessed with long life, beauty, happiness, and strength.